Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Empowered to Change Blog Talk Radio with your host, Leah Killings, Dr. Happy, Pastor Happy. Whatever you call me, praise God, just call me a child of God and I will answer. But I am so excited on the lesson for tonight. But before I get into our lesson, I want to make sure that I acknowledge those of you that may be first-time listeners to the broadcast. Like I said, this is Empowered to Change Blog Talk Radio, where we encourage, educate, and empower all to the glory of God. We want you to be encouraged, so we hope that there will be something in this message on tonight that will encourage you, that will give you hope that will cause you to be educated, to learn something, maybe not a brand new topic, but something that you may not have seen or may not have thought about, that will make you do something to learn a little bit more. And then with that information, we want you to be empowered to do the necessary changes that are necessary. And then, praise God, to share it with someone else, to be empowered to share it with someone else. So again, we pray for those of you that are brand new to the broadcast, that you will be encouraged, that you will be educated, and that you will be empowered to do something with the message. Amen. Well, for those of you, praise God, that have been with me, praise God, if I had a tambourine, I'd shake my tambourine. Those of you that have been with me almost 8 years and 2 months, can you believe it? It will be 8 years that God has blessed us to be in this vein every Monday night, and you have been here to keep me focused and to encourage me, and then to give me topics and subjects and things that I can expound on, that I can educate myself, and then be empowered to do what is necessary in my own life. And then, praise God, share it back to you. And so I thank you, thank you, thank you. And I will always give you a shout out, because you have been the wind beneath my wings for these 8 years, and I'm grateful. For those of you that don't know Jesse and Tammy Storr, they are amazing, amazing leaders of the Mega Ministry Group that has been, praise God, my support for this whole 8 years. Even before then, praise God, they grabbed me in and brought me to be part of their prayer ministry. And then from that, this broadcast was birthed. And so I will always be indebted to them and will always give them a major shout out, because, praise God, not only do they support me in my endeavors, but they've been exemplary examples to continue to follow and to strive to be like one day. And so, praise God, with no further ado, we always, always, always give God our best praise. We always acknowledge him before we go into our less powerful song. Nobody can say no when Jesus says yes, and nobody can say yes when Jesus says no. Amen. So, praise God, let's go before God with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you thanking you for your wonderful, wonderful blessings. We thank you, Father, for allowing us to wake up this morning, for allowing us to have a fresh anointing, praise God, to carry us through the day. Father, whether it was raining or whether the sun was shining, we were in it. And we thank you for everything that we accomplished on this day. We thank you, Father, for the things that we didn't get around to getting to, and that you will give us an opportunity to complete it as long as it was according to your plan and purpose. We thank you, Father, again for just so many things that we can't even name all of them. And so, Father, we just want to make sure that we point out the most important, and one is your word. Lord, you know it's my favorite because I believe every word of it. Whether there are pieces missing or not, praise God, I thank you for allowing it to be the blueprint that we need to do what you've called us to do in this hour. I thank you, Father, for allowing the Holy Spirit to complement what your word says, that gives us the motivation, that gives us the desire and the passion to do what you've called us to do in that word. And then it gives us the unction when to do it, how to do it, and when to stop doing it if necessary for us to stop, praise God. Well, Father, most importantly, we love you for your word. We love you for the Holy Spirit. But we thank you, thank you, thank you for the sacrifice that Jesus made so that his blood shed would cover all of our sins, so that we could come correct before you, that we could have an intimate relationship with you, that we can come to you for the blueprints of life and the plan of life, that you will not lead us to and leave us to our own devices, but if we trust you in all things, that you will order our steps. And we thank you, Father, for so many things. As I said, Father, we just can't thank you for them all. But we pray, Father, that you will be within this hour. Whether people are listening on tonight, listening tomorrow, listening next week, or even 8 years from now, Father, that it will be a rhema word for them to be encouraged, to be educated, to be empowered. I thank you, Father, that you will remove me and allow your word and allow this message to permeate the hearts of the wolves that are listening, not just for them to hear it, Father, but them to be doers of your word. Now, Father, again, I just thank you that you will use my lips to share what you've caused me to share. And we thank you for all the significant people that came together to make this alive and well for me to share it with the passion that you've given. I love you. I honor and adore you. Father, we all do, whether we know it or not. We give you all the praise. We give you all the honor. We give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, praise God, if you're just tuning in, this is Leah Killings, Dr. Happy to Some. Whatever you call me, praise God, I'll answer, praise God, as long as it's a child of God. I want you to feel invited and to be welcome into this hour of power, where God is going to give us a word of encouragement, a word of education. It may not be brand new, but it was new for me, praise God, some of it. And so, praise God, I hope it'll be new for you so that you'll be empowered to make it part of your lives and move forward. Now, there are times when I do my broadcast that I allow different things and the things in life to motivate me, that God puts me in a position to how to study and to what to present each week. And so sometimes I dedicate the broadcast to certain people. And then, praise God, I'll have to dedicate this one to Pastor Ricky Jennings. I had an inspiring word, just a few moments, but it was so powerful that, praise God, I want to dedicate this to him. And then he'll know his heart when he hears it. Praise God, if you're listening. But I got the most of my inspiration of this particular passage, what to talk about on tonight, from my nephew. My nephew is, praise God, I believe he's 15. And I believe he lives in Maryland, somewhere in Maryland. I don't know the city, but praise God. The family does a family thread, text message thread. And he sent on the message, he said, "This is your nephew, Darius. Can you please share this with the rest of the family?" And so I thought it was kind of cute. Praise God, I didn't know exactly what was going to be within the message. But when I read and listened and heard what actually he said, and the fact that he said that he does this daily, he adds this to his daily affirmations or declarations, whatever you call them, confessions, it moved me. And it moved me so much that when God said to train up a child in the way that they should go, praise God, I see the benefits of why it's so important for us to grasp what God will have for us in our early years so that we can do what he's called us to do. And so, like I said, the snippet that he sent was a speech from Martin Luther King, and Dr. King for most, we know him as. But he shared this message with the Barrett Junior High School in Philadelphia. And so, of course, the message that was sent to me was edited. And praise God, it was edited to the important parts. But it impressed me and it motivated me to look up the speech in its entirety. And so I understood why they edited the speech to make sure that the most prominent words really kind of penetrated the heart. Because sometimes when we do speeches, and even in this broadcast, I know that there'll be parts where we'll remember and parts that we won't. And it happens anytime we have a long time to speak. But sometimes there are times when we are so engaged in what is being said that we have to write down what is said, because we want to make sure that we grab all the nuggets that God has. And so, as I said, when I looked up this speech, I not only listened to it in its entirety, but I looked up the transcript. And I wanted to make sure that I familiarized myself with it, and not only his segment of it, but to see how it would flow with the word of God. And when I recognized that so many things that he said, and so many famous quotes and different passages of scripture or references that we use, they're all, praise God, in this little computer system we call the internet. And so, unfortunately, many of us just go by the quotes that we hear, the little snippets of scripture that we hear. But it's very important that we take the time when we're educating ourselves to look at the full view. Many times you've heard when people choose bits and pieces of a scripture, you need to know what's going on before that scripture and after that scripture. And sometimes you have to read the entire chapter to get the full meaning. But nevertheless, when you think about the things of God, especially when you're doing things according to his plan and his purpose, you are driven to those passages of scriptures for a reason, because there is something that he wants you to be motivated to either see or do or to share, if not all three. Very familiar with the passage that was edited and sent to me until I listened to it in its entirety. And then some of the speeches, or the parts of that speech, was a little bit more familiar with me. But as I said, why I was motivated was because my nephew said that he says this every day, and he dedicates to his path of success in life based on that. And then, like I said, at the end, you'll understand why I dedicate this to Pastor Jennings when I get to his part. But one of the things about this particular speech, he gave three distinct lessons on what to follow in order for those particular students, which, praise God, flows for all of us, for us to reach our full potential. And so the first lesson was your life blueprint should be a deep belief in your own dignity, your own worth, and your own somebodyness. And so I can only imagine that somebody-ness came from I am somebody, praise God. And then it also said, don't allow anyone to make you feel that you are nobody. Always feel that you count. Always feel that you have worth. Always feel that your life has an ultimate significance. Amen. Lesson two. In your life blueprint, you must have a basic principle to be determined to achieve excellence in your various fields of endeavors. If your lot in life is to be a street sweeper, sweep the streets so well that all the hosts in heaven and earth will pause and say, here was a great sweeper. Praise God. Lesson three. He says, and finally, in your life's blueprint must be a commitment to the internal principles of beauty, love, and justice. However young you are, you have a responsibility to seek to make your nation a better nation that you live in. And if you have, you also have a responsibility to seek to make your life better for everybody. And so you must be involved in the struggle of freedom and justice. Now, these three life blueprints were very powerful. And of course, like I said, it had a lot more meat to it that went in it, but those were the three basic nuggets that we want to talk about tonight. And so I thought about it, life's blueprint. Wouldn't it be nice if we had life blueprint at the beginning of life? If it was issued to us like we're issued our birth certificates, our social security numbers, or even our citizen status, it would be nice to know what our blueprint was at the time of birth so that our parents would be easier. It would be easier for them to rear us and base the direction in which we should go. And then they would know what schools, what academic training, all the things that we would need to be able to perform and succeed at whatever our predetermined careers would have been. And then that way we would be able to live our best life. And I thought, wow, that would be cool. And then we would already know when it would be time to marry or start our own families. And then we could be financially prepared, mentally prepared, and physically prepared. I know I would have liked to have known how many children I was going to have, whether they'd be boys or girls or both. And then to be able to know their blueprint, just as my parents had my blueprint, we could start that process over and over and over again. And so sometimes I wonder, do we really have a life blueprint? But I went back to Dr. King because, like I said, his speech gave some very awesome, motivating tips, and some I'll share a little later. But I wanted to see how I could combine that. And if Dr. King had asked me, you know, what was my life blueprint, and if I knew what my life blueprint was. And I would tell him probably I couldn't share or really expound on what he said as much as I would have to reflect on how God would incorporate his word within that foundation of that blueprint. And so, of course, those of you that know me, I love to define words. I'm a teacher by nature. And so not only did Dr. King in his speech give a great definition, but it kind of lined up with Webster's definition as well. A blueprint basically is a pattern, a guide, a model, or plan, or pretty much a set of instructions. And it's usually a layout to a building or a structure. And usually when you have a blueprint, you're doing it because you want to have something that's sound, something that's solid, and something that's strong. And so I believe that those blueprints that Dr. King gave were awesome blueprints. But like I said, if he were here today and if he were to ask me, Leah or Miss Happy or Dr. Happy or Auntie Happy, whatever he would call me, and he would ask me, Leah, what is your blueprint, life blueprint? And I would tell him that I love the fact that he took the time And I always give credit, because like I said, I'm a teacher by nature. I give credit to those that share, that take their time to study, that take their time to put the things together that they put together for the benefit of those that are yielding and wanting information. And so this weekend, I had the privilege of being a part of a graduation process. And the guest speaker said that whenever we know our life assignment to share, that we should also see it as a reciprocation, because just as much as I'm sharing out, I should be able to be open for people to share in. And so I would tell him that I love your blueprint that you shared with me, because it's given me another aspect, another thing to pursue, to seek how it goes with the things of God. And so I would tell him that my life lesson would have to be similar to what the word says, that as he said, his first to have a deep belief in your own dignity, your own worth, and your own somebody-ness. And I would have to match it with and say that I believe the most effective way in life is to first have a deep belief in God, what he created, and his commitment and his commandments. And so if I deeply believed in what God said, what he created, his commitments and his commandments, then ultimately I would know my own significance, because I was made, or we're all made. And I don't want to just say this is me, because I want you to take this personal too, because he made all of us in his own image. And so if he made us in his image and we deeply believe that, then we would have to know that we're fearfully and wonderfully made, that we have dignity, we have worth, and we know that we are somebody. Because, praise God, we're made in the image of God. And then if he asked me, well, what is your second life blueprint? I would say, like he did, to be determined to achieve excellence in your various fields and endeavors. And then I would tell him, according to the word, I know that God wants us to be strong and have expectations and to achieve excellence. But I believe he would prefer us to be more determined, to have a deep belief in him, to know that everything he made was made with a purpose and with a function, and that everything that he made that operates with the proper function, he provides the provision, resources to ensure that whatever he created performs as he created. Now, the coolest thing, I don't know about most of y'all, but most of y'all that do know me know that I love visuals, and I love how God confirms his word. And so when Dr. King's message, he talked about the street sweeper, he also talked about if you're a tree or you're a bush, be the best tree or be the best bush or shrub. And so I thought, if you really look at that, God created trees, and he created bushes, and he created the shrubs. And they perform exactly how God created them. And they can't be a tree if they're a shrub, and can't be a shrub. The shrub can't be a tree if he was made a shrub. I think I said that right. But nevertheless, you are what you are, and you operate the way that God designed you. So if you don't know the purpose and the plan that God designed you for, then how can you be what God created you to be? You'll do something different. That's confusion, and God doesn't operate in confusion. And I also love just thinking about, like I said, my visuals, the tree and the shrub. I thought about how God created them to grow. And in life, we know that in order for the trees and the shrubs to grow, they need to be watered. And so God designed the dirt for them to be in, and it functions the way it's supposed to function. He created rain that waters the trees and the bushes, and they do what they do. And so if they're obedient to do what they do, and God prospers them, I'm reminded of a tree that was in my yard growing up. And after we moved, many times I'd go home to Minnesota and look for that tree. And it always amazed me how full that tree always was, and how there wasn't much done to it. We didn't give it miracle growth. Every once in a while, I think my father might have watered it for the most part, but he was just doing something to be busy in the yard. But nevertheless, God knows when it's supposed to rain and when the tree needs to grow and when the grass needs to grow, and how they don't cry out, Lord, we need water. We need fertilizer. They just do what they're designed to do, and God provides the resources for them. And even when we think that we're in a drought, isn't it amazing that the trees are still there? The bushes are still there. The grass and the dirt and even the creepy crawly things that crawl in them are still there. Why? Because they're obedient to their uniqueness in the things of God. And so we too have to be obedient and appreciate our uniqueness in the things of God. We can't be anything other than what God called us to be. And so if you're doing something or you're somewhere you're not supposed to be and your resources are kind of blocked up, well, it's probably because you're doing something outside of the will of God. I am often reminded at how I try to do different things. I've said even before on other broadcasts that my goal was to finish college and be featured at Jet and Ebony magazine. And so I did all the things I thought to do to figure out how to be featured. And praise God, I'm not sure if either of those magazines still exist, praise God. But it was nothing that I could do to get myself in those books and be featured, because that was not the purpose that God had for me. God's purpose for me was to teach. And so all the times that I navigated and went different ways, because I still had an unction to follow some of the things God said, he kept me on the path that led me right back to where I was supposed to be. And now, praise God, there's not much that I want for, but we'll get into that in a minute. But praise God, you're supposed to be and do the assignment that God does. And when you do that, the resources that you need to do it will be there. You just have to make sure that you're in line with him. Amen. And so the other thing that I think that I must add before I go into step three is that if you're aligning yourself, and maybe we're not, like I said, I got off the path. But when you get on the path, praise God, you have to be ready, because God is going to open doors for you. And so it may be a little hard. It may be a little difficult at times. But praise God, when you really, really think about what his word says for you and how your blueprint was already crafted for you, all you have to do is follow the plan. In Jeremiah 29:11, it says, he created a plan for us, a plan for us to prosper and not to harm us, a plan for us to have hope and a future. And so if you don't know what your assignment is, your God-given assignment, like I said, God always provides resources for you. All you have to do is follow one of my favorite scriptures, John 15:7. If you remain in him and his word remains in you, whatever you wish, he will give it to you. And so if his will and your will lines up together, then praise God. Your purpose will be revealed to you, and he will provide the resources that you need so that, like Dr. King said, you can do it and be your very best because you're actually doing what God has called you to do. The third lesson, like Dr. King, he said to be, that the life lesson is to be committed to the internal principles of beauty, love, and justice. I'm going to say that again. Dr. King said that the blueprint lesson three, the final lesson, was to be committed to the internal principles of beauty, love, and justice. And I would respond to him if he asked me that question. I too believe that we must be committed to eternal principles of love. And then I would remind him that God is love, and that the very principle of love was a commandment God gave out of the mouth of Jesus himself. And Matthew 22:37, it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. With all your heart, with all your soul is your mind, will, and emotions, and then with all your strength. Now, I like that Dr. King said that it's our responsibility to make a better nation, make our nation a better nation, and then life for others to be better for everyone. I believe that if we follow the principles of God, if we love God like we're supposed to, and we seek him first, then everything will be added unto us. And then we will learn to love him with all of our heart, with all of our soul. Our mind, our will, and emotions will line up with him. We will understand why we need this strength to love. Because, saints, I don't know about y'all, but sometimes it's hard to love some people. Amen. So that's why I think he put strength in there. Amen. Well, praise God. Dr. King said that even in your youth, you may participate in the struggle for freedom and justice. And I think, like God, he knew. And that's why he said that we should train up the children in the way that they should go. And when they are old, they will not depart. Why is that important? Why is it so important that my nephew impressed me for making this part of his daily routine to understand what he is supposed to do to succeed in life? I just want to make sure he makes some provisions and make sure God is part of that. But it's important for us to learn in our youth to prevent us from dealing with all the struggles that life has. We know that there are going to be troubles. There's going to be challenges. There's going to be struggles because God said it. But in James, he said to endure all of them with joy. And how can you endure that with joy? Well, you can if you first understood that you have to know, deeply know and believe that if you're made in God's image. And I think the more I study God's word and the more I really start to believe the words that are in there, that we can have all power and authority. And I say this often because it's really, really, really grasping when I finally grasp it, that we have the power and the authority to trample on scorpions and serpents, and we run from house flies and ants. I don't understand it. We have power and authority if we operate in the things that God has for us, if we know the plan that he has for us, if we're operating in our purpose, then praise God, we will have all the resources we need to help us endure anything that comes. And so when we struggle, it's hard. But praise God, if you know God, it won't be as hard because you will learn how to endure. And I love one of the other parts that Dr. King said in this speech. He said, life has not been no crystal stair. And I've heard that before, but I never knew what it really meant. I figured it meant it had to be important for the stairs to be crystal. But I looked it up. And I love the fact that the main symbolism based on that quote, life for me ain't been no crystal stair, is talking about life's journey. That it will not always be easy. It's like climbing, life is like the journey of climbing a staircase with challenges, burdens, sicknesses, and even death. None of us are immune from it. None of it. But however, Jesus said, come unto me, all of those of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. So thanks when we have our burdens, our worries, our addictions, our sicknesses, our money problems, our men problems, our women problems, whatever it is, if we give it to God, he will give us rest. Now, what does that mean for me? And those of you that know, this year ain't been no crystal stair for me neither, praise God. COVID, cancer, and all the crazy stuff that I've had to deal with, I could list a long list, just as I'm sure as you can have a long list. Now that I'm going to the Cancer Center Treatment of America, it's amazing to me listening to the different people's stories. And I'm thinking, wow, I thought my story was bad. But all of us, like the stanza says, life ain't been no crystal stair for many of us. However, if we put our trust and our hopes in everything we have in the things of God, we'll be able to endure. And why are we able to endure? Well, because, and sometimes we read the word and still don't know. That's why revelation is so important. And that brings me to Pastor Ricky. So Saturday was a very eventful day for me. I was tired. I was frustrated because I was trying to make my body do what I wanted it to do, but it wasn't cooperating. But nevertheless, I made it. And then in the stillness of Saturday, sitting in the dark, trying to cool off and gain enough strength to get to the car, Pastor Ricky gave me an inspiring word. I told him, I said, you know, I'm struggling a little bit because I know the word is true, and I believe that God is going to do what he says he's going to do, but sometimes I keep going back and forth with this particular question. And so I told him that sometimes I believe that God is going to do everything that he says he's going to do. But I've been in the pit and I've been in the prison. Those of you that know the story of Joseph, it was Joseph, praise God. He was in the pit, his brothers put him in the pit, and he had to endure that. And then he was put into prison, and he had to endure that. And then all the other things that he had to do. And I said, Lord, okay, I know what the pit looks like. I know what the prison looks like. And I've been in both of them interchangeably for a long time. I want to see what the palace feels like. I want to see what it looks like to have all my needs met and all my wants met and all my desires met. Because I believe in your word, you said, if I remain in you, and Lord knows I'm remaining in you, and your word is remaining in me, and I'm doing my best to memorize and study and to teach it and share it and expound on it, so I know your word is in me. You said that you would give me the desires of my heart as long as they're in your will, and your will says that you have a plan for me to prosper, for not to harm me and to give me hope. Well, I need some hope because I need to see what it looks like to ride in a shiny Cadillac. I need to know what it looks like to write checks without having to check my balance before I write them. And so when I posed that question to him, he just kind of looked at me, didn't say much. And then he said, well, I know quite a few of your tests, some of the dark testimonies. And he said, but the thing that I don't understand, why you don't understand, you always win. You never stop praising God. You never stop praying for people. Whew. You never stop helping people. You never stop teaching. And I don't remember you ever not doing the broadcast. Every Monday night, you're there. You do what God calls you to do. So why wouldn't God use you? Because he gets all the glory anyway. So why, even if you did get the palace, what would you do? What would you do? And I said jokingly, or not even jokingly, because it's probably true, I laughed. I said, I'd probably give it away. Or I left all the homeless people that were stressed and struggling to come live. And then I would let them have it and I would leave because I was going to try to find other people to help. And he said, so what are you looking for that God hasn't already given you? Every trial and every tribulation that you go through, you always come out on top. Yes, it's painful to endure. Yes, you have challenges, but he gives you the resources you need to do what you need to do. That was such a revelation for me to stop complaining, to stop murmuring, to just see it as I see it. And then I was crazy enough to ask, I'm like, but I get that, but I'm tired of fighting. I said, it seems like just a fight. It's always got a fight to do, this fight. And he's like, why? That fight is not yours. It's the Lord's. Give it to him. You don't have to fight. All you have to do is do what his word says, is to put your yokes on him and rest in him. So now, praise God, I left the church a little lighter. I was fresh and renewed and energized to continue to pursue what God would have me pursue. And so now, praise God, I don't think that there will be anything that will cause me to completely stumble, not like I have been in the last couple of months, being motivated and then let down, being motivated then let down. I don't think I'm going to do that anymore, because when you get a real revelation from the things of God, your life is different. You're changed. You're changed for forevermore. All the things that you used to do that you think you could do or would do if situations come, I don't have those thoughts anymore, because the scripture says to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, mind, will, and emotions, and all your strength. And if I do that, he will order my steps for me to prosper and to have hope and have a future. So now I don't have to look at cancer as a detriment. I see it as an opportunity to witness the things of God. And so I was reminded on Thursday at my appointment, I left my appointment and I walked by this room, and because I'm a little nosy, I went in and asked the people, because I saw painting, I like decorating and craft stuff. And I'm like, what are y'all doing in here? And they're like, it's craft hour. I'm like, this is a hospital, right? And they're like, yeah, but we do crafts. I'm like, crafts? And they say, yeah, distractions to give people an opportunity to do something different, to not have their minds on the situation. And so, of course, my mind started seeing, wow, okay, I could volunteer here. Oh, I could share tech. I could bring scriptures and leave stuff here for people automatically. That's where my mind went, beside the point of what people were in there actually doing. So praise God, I put my mind back on the people and listened to the stories. And the lady that was over the program, you know, we all had our mask on, of course, but her eye kept twitching. And so, of course, me being me, I asked her, I said, your eye is twitching. I said, did you have a stroke or did you have Bell's palsy? She said, no, I actually had a tumor on my behind my eye, close to my brain. And she said, do you want to see it? I'm like, sure, if you have it. And so she pulled it up. And literally, it was probably the size of an orange behind her eye, above her ear. But the part that it was pressing on her brain, they had to remove it. And in the process of them removing it, it damaged the nerve that goes to her eye. And so her eye doesn't close the way it used to. And it caused her lip to be kind of sunken to the side. And so I laughed, and she said, that's funny. I said, no. I said, now I know why God had me come in here. And I said, I had the same problem. I had Bell's palsy 3 times, 2 on one side, 1 on the other side. And I said, my face was lopsided too. And I said, and I hid. I wore dark glasses and wore hats down to my eyes. And I was scared to come out and scared to minister to people. So I did a lot of things on the phone. I said, until God revealed to me, I ain't do nothing to your mouth that you can't use. And if you can't see some days, I'll have your daughter read it to you, but you can do audio with it. And so when I got that revelation, it brought me out. And so it doesn't matter. And I tell people, if my lips was under my chin, as long as it moved, I was going to declare the things of God. And so I was telling her my story, and I told her what way, awesome way for God to use you by having you here and creating these events to help people, to feed people. And, of course, praise God, I love the fact that Cancer Center Treatment of America is motivated. And so I said, give them scriptures. When you do things, pass out scriptures to have. Let them know that despite what they're going through, they can still seek God. They can still praise him. And she looked at me, and she thought, she said, you know, I was here to help you, but you've helped me. And that goes to what the minister said this weekend. Teaching should be reciprocal. No matter who it is, if it's a child, if it's young, if it's old, if it's experienced, unexperienced, we all can reciprocate learning from each other. We just have to be open to hear. And especially if we're being led by the things of God, our plans are ordained. Our steps are ordained. He knows. He knew that that door needed to be open for me to trip in there, not for me to be encouraged to color a rock, but for me to show the lady that I was standing on the rock, amen, that I colored, praise God, and that I could give her an encouraging word. And she works at a hospital where they encourage people. But I was able to encourage her, not because I know so much, not because I've been through so much, but because I know who God is and who he is in me. And that no matter what pain I'm going through or situation I may be encountering, I still can share a word for God to get the glory. And he knows that I won't take it for myself. Although sometimes I like for, you know, people to say, praise God. But, you know, on the real, I know that that's God. I know it's nothing but me and nothing to do with me. It's all for him and his plan. And then the next thing I said, I forgot to, Pastor Jennings, he said, you know, your fears of not being humble. I don't know why you have those fears. Because I told him, I said, well, you know, I'd give away the palace. And I said, and I probably wouldn't want it because I wouldn't want to believe that I did something to get there or that I would forget God because now I'm living this Christian life. And he said, I just don't believe that you think that you would do that. And he said, look at what you've done, even with the little that you have, you give it away. You share until you have nothing left to share. And so while I'm in my mind rehearsing, I don't necessarily need the major things in life because I don't know that I would follow God. And that's not true because my purpose and my plan has been ordained for me. And I am trying my best to do what God would have me to do because I do want him to have all the glory. I do want to make sure that everyone knows that in my community and my voice of reach, that they understand that God has a plan for them too. He has a purpose for us all. And if you don't know it, praise God, all you got to do is ask him. And then when he reveals it to you, be prepared to do what he says that he called for you to do. If that means you have to go back to school, go back to school. Praise God, there's so many different classes now. And even with the pandemic, most of the stuff is virtual. So you don't even have to go nowhere. And a lot of the stuff you can find is free. Study to show yourself approved so you can rightly divide God's word. And not only that, you can apply that with secular things too. Lord, I'm yielding this understanding to you, and so I need you to let economics become alive to me because this looks Greek and I don't understand it. But Lord, I'm yielding it to you so that when I take this test, you're going to bring all this stuff to my remembrance because I'm yielding this class to you. You don't think he'll do it? What did that song say? Won't he do it? Said he would. Make people wonder why you sleep at night. Amen. I can sleep now. There was a time I was struggling. But after that revelation on Saturday, I ain't going to have no problem sleeping. I know now that the challenges that I face in life are not for me, that they're for a purpose and a plan for God to get the glory because he knows I'll give it all to him. My doctors are still confused why I can see. Because I should have I should be blind with permanent eye damage because I had tumors in both eyes. But praise God, when I know my eyes are weak and he tells me to sit down, it's time to go to bed, baby, go to bed. And before I even came to the computer, I'm like, Lord, my vision is a little weird. I know I was doing too much on my phone, and so that glare, I had the double vision thing going on. But I got to do the broadcast, so fix it, work it however you want me to do it. But I need to be able to see. And praise God, I see clearly. I can see clearly now. That's a secular song. But I can see because God caused me to see. Amen. And so I want you to be able to see clearly too. Physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, even financially. Whatever it is that you need to pursue, give it to God and let him help you. Find the scriptures that you need online. As one of my mentors said, you have a world of knowledge in your hand, and that's your cell phone. All you have to do is go to Google. You have a library of tons of information for you to expound on, for you to learn. I do ask that you compare it to the word of God always because his word is true. But praise God, whatever God has a plan, allow him to manifest it in your life. Pursue him. You know, I know Dr. King, and he meant well when he said that you recognize your own. That's partially true. But you got to give God his first because you wouldn't have dignity if he didn't have him. You wouldn't know what importance and excellence was unless you know the things of God. He is the true king, and he has the true blueprint to not just your life, but to all of our lives, to the world, to everything he created. And of the things that we see on a day-to-day basis, the wind, the moon, the sun, the stars, they operate the way God called them to operate. Surely they shine and they do what they do because they operate in the purpose that God had for them. If you know your purpose, trust, you'll operate like they do because it's the will of God to do so. Amen. Well, I pray that this has been a wonderful lesson for you on tonight, that you will take the time and listen to Dr. King's blueprint, but make sure you compare it praise God, with the blueprint that God gave, that you commit to the principles of beauty, love, and justice, that you make sure that you do love first because God is love, and that you be committed to all the principles of God's love, that you allow his commandment to love others and to love yourself and to love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, of course. And then, praise God, to make sure that you do everything according to his plan and purpose with excellence. And if you do those things, then praise God, like Dr. King said, you can be the best of whatever God designed for you to do. Now, I could keep going because you know I love to talk, but I'm out of time. Not out of talk, but I am out of time. And so I'd like for you to tune in again next week where we'll have another inspiring word, and we'll probably get more into this to keep moving forward, because I think sometimes you may have discovered your purpose late in life, if you consider it late in life, but God already knew when you'd be on board. And so take what you're learning, take what you need, and move forward into the things that he's called you in. And so next week I'll give you steps to do that. But I always close the broadcast with my granny's favorite song, because every praise belongs to him. And so I've been playing this for my granny. She's 94, and praise God, in a couple of months she'll be 95. And so praise God, we're believing and trusting that God's going to have her live until she's satisfied. And so we're going to believe and trust that we can do whatever we need to do to make sure she's happy so that she stays satisfied to stay with us. Amen. Granny, I know you're listening. I love you. And then I also dedicate this song to all of us, because I realize that more people are not listening to this song as we close every night. And so I want to make sure that I get most of it. But more importantly, I want you to remember that we're on every Monday night, and you can tune in for an inspiring word to be encouraged, to be educated, and to be empowered. But I was saying, most importantly, what I want you to remember is that you have to start your day with prayer. It's so essential to have that communication with God daily. And the first thing when you open your eyes, you should thank him, and just thank him for all the things that he's done. The things you can even think about, that he protected you as you slept in hunger, that you woke up, that you didn't have horrifying things that snatched you out of your sleep. Amen. There's so much that we can pray for, pray to start our day. Amen. And then to pray throughout your day. And then, of course, to close your day with prayer. I pray that you have gotten something from this lesson, as I said. And I pray that you will tune in next week. Be blessed. Have a wonderful week. You know who loves you, God, and so do I. Be blessed and have a good night.
Let me hear the worshipers. Where's all of my praises? I want everybody around the world to put your hands together, because all the praise belongs to God. Here we go. Praise. down, you ought to lift your hands and praise him now. He's worthy of the praise. I don't care what you've been through. Just know that praise is bringing you out right now.